Good morning. It is Saturday, March 21st, 2007. This is the No Stay Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens. Glad to be back. We're here every Saturday morning on Republic Broadcast Network. 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time, and it's killing me, but it's 7 a.m. Pacific Time. And you want to check out my website, adventuresinlegalland.com. Just want to let you know that Monday, March 26th, I will be again. I was invited to be back on the, this will be my third appearance on the Bill Maher Show on KMED, 1440 AM in Medford, Oregon. I made a mistake. I thought that they had a live feed or a live stream on the internet. They do not. So if you're not in the Medford, Oregon area, you'll be able to get that on the archive the same day. I'll be posting it on my website same day. Well, when I was on last Monday, good show, had a lot of fun, only a half hour. So Bill asked me to come back for a full hour. So Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific time through 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, I will be on the show again talking about voluntary society, also this ridiculous notion of the drug war and the police. Which brings me to one of the topics I want to talk about today. And in the next segment, I'm going to bring my guest up. It's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a number of years. He is originally from Australia. He's actually living in Italia. He's in Italy right now, and he'll be joining us in the next segment. And we'll be talking about the Australian police state, and if we have time, we'll be talking about the European police state, which he's able to talk about from personal first-hand experience. One thing is I noticed, and I got to ask, why does MSNBC hate America? Why do they hate the police? It says here the two NYPD officers face manslaughter charges. A third will be charged with misdemeanor charges in the shooting death of a groom. And this is going back a number of months now when over 50 shots, 50-some-odd shots were fired at an unarmed man on his wedding day, and killing him. It says that the grand jury that secretly indicted the three officers Friday reserved a harsher charge for those who fired the most shots. Obviously, the grand jury and this prosecuting attorney hate America and they just hate the police. Why else would you indict police officers for doing their job? Yes, Officer Michael Oliver fired 31 times, but he's a cop. I mean, this is what cops do. This is part of the job, is to shoot people, right? I mean, if someone's not going to follow orders, you shoot them. If someone doesn't have a seatbelt on and refuses to follow orders, you shoot them. This is what you do. And I love this. Their attorney, they have attorneys, and their attorney says, the officers have said that they are innocent, and their supporters know that an indictment does not necessarily lead to a conviction. It says, you can indict a ham sandwich or even a rock in the grand jury, says Michael Palladino, president of the 15,000-member Detectives Endowment Association. Now, do you see the irony here? When I read this, I was amazed. Okay, this is the 15,000-member Detectives Endowment Association, the president, saying, quote, you can indict a ham sandwich or even a rock in the grand jury, end quote. Do you think that this same president of the Detectives Endowment Association, you think he feels the same way about all those drug busts his officers do? I wonder. I would love to have the opportunity to ask him that question, but unfortunately, bureaucrats are notorious for not coming on my show. Hey, what's up with that? A grand jury can indict a rock. Nice to know that the system is rigged to such a point that you can indict a rock. Okay, my name is Mark Stevens. We'll be taking your calls at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We'll be right back with my guest, Mark, from Australia.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republic.
Welcome back. This is the No State Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens, author of Adventures in Legal Land. You definitely want to check out adventuresinlegalland.com. I want to thank our silent sponsors, JT, Mark, and Sagas. Appreciate everything you guys do to help support the show. Couldn't do it without you. Just want to mention something real quick here. There was another story here, and again, I want to know, there's the Chicago Sun-Times. I think they must hate America, too, and they want the terrorists to win. Because there's a story here about a police officer, and listen to the language that they use. I mean, they blow things totally out of proportion. And if you disagree, the number here, we don't screen, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. It says, badge of dishonor. Cop in video attack allegedly tried to bribe threatened woman following savage beating. No, it wasn't just a beating. It was savage. And it says he wanted one more drink. And when Carolina, the bartender, refused, the off-duty Chicago cop punched and kicked a 115-pound woman in a sickening display of violence caught on videotape, prosecutors say. Obviously, they want the terrorists to win. Why are you going to indict a cop for beating up? And it turns out he's a 250-pound cop beating up a 115-pound woman. Got to tell you, why, you know, this is the cop, Abate, see, they keep going after Italians. What is it with that? I think they just don't like Italians. He wasn't arrested until a month later. because he had checked into a substance abuse program, and the police didn't have access to him. Wow. Wow, they're talking about the savage nature of the attack. And I just want to read something here. Well, first, before I read this, why don't the police officers do like the feds do? See, when the feds murder somebody, like, I don't know, a little incident like a Ruby Ridge, or, you know, something like that, or when they kill 86 men, women, and children in Waco, Texas, they're smart at the federal level. Okay? They don't want the terrorists to win. Okay? So what they do is they claim sovereign immunity, that the officers were just doing their job. It's just part of the job. And I just want to give a kind of a description of these types of people. And we're going to go right to the medical source. I don't care about the legal definition right now. We'll go to the Merck manual. We're just looking at medical definitions, okay, from MDs, from doctors. We're talking about, tell me if this does not fit the definition of every bureaucrat you've ever met. People with a narcissistic personality have a sense of superiority and an exaggerated belief in their own value or importance, which is what psychiatrists call grandiosity. People with this personality type may be extremely sensitive to failure, defeat, or criticism. And when confronted by failure to fulfill their high opinion of themselves, see, this police officer wanted another drink, so we beat the hell out of two people, because he didn't get it. When confronted by a failure to fulfill their high opinion of themselves, can easily become enraged or severely depressed. Because they believe themselves to be superior in their relationships with other people, they expect to be admired and often suspect others envy them. They feel they're entitled to have their needs attended to without waiting, so they exploit others whose needs or beliefs are deemed to be less important. Their behavior is usually offensive to others who view them as being self-centered, arrogant, and selfish. Well, my guest, a friend of mine, would probably agree that that describes at least some of the bureaucrats that he has had the misfortune of having to be in front of. And without further ado, I want to bring to the show a good friend of mine from originally from Australia, living in Italy now, Mark. Mark, welcome to the No Stay Project.
Thank you, Mark.
You have it a little easier. It's only about 3 o'clock in the afternoon there, right?
Yep, that's right, Mark.
Oh, I envy you right now. Well, not in the morning.
And I slept in late.
Oh, okay, rub it in a little bit there. It's been nice having you on. Well, what I want to do, I want to start off with, I know you're in Italy now, and I'm sure that's beautiful, and I'm... Although you did tell me that Rome had the worst pizza in the world.
avoid it if you can, Mark.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'll make sure I get a calzone or something when I'm lucky enough to go there. But you had a charge that I've actually mentioned on the show before, just not in much detail. You were given a ticket for not voting in Australia.
Yeah. There are ways that people get out of it, but in this instance, I decided to see where it would go and had them take me to court over it.
And just give us a little bit of detail. You don't have to go, crazy, but just give us a little bit of detail about the ticket and if I'm trying to remember, because I don't have it right in front of me. Everything is done in the name of the Queen, her exalted Majesty.
Yeah, that's right. Some representative from whichever government department claims authority on the basis of the Queen that he is serving you with a ticket or telling you what you should and shouldn't do. And in this instance, they sent me a ticket telling me that I'm to pay $75. But, well, if I pay it within a certain amount of time, about a month I think it was, they'll halve it for me. But after that, it'll be about $75 that you pay for failing to vote. But if you don't do that, well, you can proceed with it to court.
Well, isn't that pretty big of them, though, to offer, to do that for just, for a lesser amount of money?
Oh, it's wonderful. We were very grateful for them for doing it, but I wanted to know what was going on behind the scenes there, so I politely refused their offer.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I've pointed out on the show, there was a case, it's the same in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England, whatnot, the British Commonwealth, and what the courts have ruled on, and that they have ruled, just like here in the United States, that to have a cause of action, somebody's legal rights or the plaintiff's legal rights have to be violated. So, so if there was a cause of action against you, what they're claiming is that you violated Her Majesty's Her Majesty's legal rights.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
apparently apparently they believe that the Queen has a legal right to have you go out and vote.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder after my experience if they actually believe what they're saying, though, Mark. Okay. They've taken down all the pictures of the Queen in the courthouses in recent years.
Oh, shocker! What shocking insolence! Okay, so you get this ticket and just.
I got the ticket. I filled out the form on the back. I said, "Yeah, come on, let's go and do the dance." And I went for the arraignment. And I asked them to show me a cause of action, and the judge was horrified. And he said, "Well, look, you know, we don't deal with it in that court. You'll have to come back on another day." So they gave me the next day to come back, and I went back for that time, all ready to go, armed to the teeth. And he says, "Well, there's your date. We'll see you next time."
So
it was only the mentioned date.
So even though you go and you ask for proof of a cause of action,
that wasn't their department. They didn't want to know about it.
Was it? But didn't you see a magistrate or a judge?
Yes, I did.
Oh, so obviously their cause of action is important. They don't need a cause of action in order to give somebody a court date.
No, now you mention it. No, they didn't need a cause of action to give me a court date.
Yeah. Gee, and where have I heard that before? people who are listening will have heard that before. So they do the same thing here. Okay, so you get your date.
And I've phoned up the following time. And they did what I came to recognize quite readily. They kind of just listen to you for a while. They have this, like, yes, I'm doing my type kind of job. And then it's like this little dinner bell goes off in their head. It's just like, it's time for a snack. And they just get this look of stone in their eyes and just wipe the table off you and say, "Well, that's it. Yeah, there's your fine. If you want to appeal it, go for it. But have a nice time."
Well, that's not actually what happened. Because I remember what you had told me. I should have had you on earlier about this.
Hmm.
Was that you'd ask what they call the prosecutor in Australia is the solicitor.
Yep, that's right.
And, I mean, they do the same thing here. It just depends. It's a more exalted office here. It's not the same as just a lowly prosecutor. Like, you have the Solicitor General of the United States who represents the United States government before the Supreme Court. So it's more of an exalted title. People remember 9/11. The Solicitor General's wife was allegedly one of the people on one of the flights that was killed, that he had gotten a cell phone call from his wife. I don't remember his name. But, yes, it's just a more exalted title here. But you had asked a number of questions at the first, let's say, trial or hearing, and the solicitor asked for a continuance or to adjourn the matter and then have it on another day.
Yeah, that was right.
Do you remember what, you know, was it the nature of the question? Was it basically the same thing about proof of a cause of action?
You got me there now, Mark. I've actually recorded it. I've got one of those little secret spy watches that have got a recording device on it, and I record when I go to court, but I haven't found the file.
You're lending a lot of credibility to a lot of those, you know, New Zealand jokes.
Yes, I know.
Well, irony is because a lot, you know, that's what you had told me, and this is typically what happens. We get the same thing here where things are brought up, cause of action or who the judge represents, and they do basically the same thing. They want to get the people out. Let's get him out of here, and it's a way of saving face for not prosecuting you in a certain amount of time. My name is Mark Stevenson with my guest, and from Italy, friend Mark, talking about police state and courts in Australia. Give us a call at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We'll be right back in just a moment here on the No Stay Project.
Did you hear it? about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Welcome back to the No State Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens, author of Adventures in Legaland. My website is adventuresinlegaland.com. Check it out today. Talking about the police state in Australia, my friend from Australia who's now living in Italy, Mark, welcome back to the No State Project.
Thank you, Matt.
I want to just move on a bit, I know you're we've spoken a lot in the past about the police state in Australia, and I think it's incredible that people believe that democracy is such a wonderful thing that you have to then force people to participate. A lot of people, had emailed me in disbelief that they had never heard that, wow, why would you have to force somebody in a democracy, a wonderful system of government, why would you have to force people to vote? Now, is it, now, you just want, I know the answer, okay, but just for those who may not know, is it compulsory to register to vote in Australia?
Apparently so. They tell you you should do it, but you're never chased up for not registering to vote. A lot of people just simply don't do it.
But yeah, so basically the charges that you see are the people who are already registered to vote.
That's
and
right.
Don't vote.
Yep.
Because you had asked them about that, and basically what were you told? You know, what's, you know, like, where's the proof of an obligation, or where are the facts that I'm obligated to vote?
That's right. I wanted to know when my obligation was in the first place to vote. And it was only as we finished, the prosecutor turned to me and he says, "You registered. Well, you registered." And that was it, very just offhanded, after everything had been done and dusted.
Well, and we've had that experience, similar experience with IRS cases, and it's understandable why he would have said that basically off the record. For those who haven't heard, was with a doctor in San Diego a number of years ago, and just asking for the facts with the Internal Revenue Service, well, not the whole service, but just a couple of agents, and had just asked, what facts do you rely on to prove that an obligation to file a return was created? And the supervisor got extremely upset. I mean, I don't know if it wasn't necessarily mad, but it was really cocky and arrogant, sort of like this, probably, you know, similar to what this police officer did when he beat the daylights out of this 100-pound woman. And he said that, "You filed the return. That's all the facts we need." Whoa. So I didn't even – I mean, it was such a great revelation of okay, by the agent, at least what he thought, that the doctor picked up on that, and I didn't even have to. He says, "What you're telling me is if I never filed a return, there would be no evidence that an obligation existed to file a return?" He said, "Great. I didn't file for the next 6 years. You're telling me there's no evidence?" And you just seen the look on the face of the supervisor. Uh-oh. Yeah, because, you know, if for him to have said that during the trial, you could have just said, "Well, so if I didn't register to vote, there'd be no obligation."
Yes.
What's he going to say?
That'd be the end of it.
That'd be the end of it. You know, he'd be in a pretty deep hole there. Now he's going to have to prove that you're obligated to register. Well, where's his proof of that?
Hmm. I brought up my notes here, and apparently, the complaint that was served on me was by a fellow I'd never heard from before, and I brought up the obligation, and I also brought up this fellow who, his name was all over the place, but I had no idea who he was. There was no evidence of my obligation to him. I asked him who he represented. I asked him, can I see him as a witness, and all of that was thrown out the window.
No opportunity to confront any witnesses.
No.
What? At the king's or the queen's bench? Surely that can't be true.
That's it. I didn't get much further than that before I was shuffled off to the next date.
See, one of the things that I pointed out, and it's the same in Australia, although I may not be able to at this particular point, you know, give you the exact section or code or case to establish this. But one of the hallmarks of American, Anglo, you know, British law is the cross-examination. And there are tons and tons of – in fact, I cite one of them in the book. I think it's Wigmore, a very popular legal writer, that the whole thing of English liberty – was hinged on that of the innocence until proven guilty and the opportunity to confront your accuser. And who would think that for the heinous crime of not voting, no wonder you had to flee to Italy. You're not voting. the issue of cross-examination that never comes up. I mean, who do they have with personal knowledge of the facts that you committed this heinous crime?
No one.
So, I mean, if you have no witness to this, according to the British authorities, there's no witness. There's, you know, there's no witness to cross-examine. There's no crime. Hello, my name is Mark Stevens. My guest, Mark from Italia, is with me today. We'll be back in just a few moments here on the No Stay Project. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Yeah, have you heard? Gosh, I clapped and I love that. My name is Mark Stevens. You're listening to the No Stay Project here on the Republic Broadcast Network. I also want to thank Tom, who's running the board. And, hey, without Tom, you wouldn't be hearing a thing right now. So I appreciate all the work that he does to bring the show on the air. I want to bring my great guest back, my friend, my mate, from Australia, who's living in Italia now. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, mate.
You don't mind taking a couple calls, do you?
No, go for it.
All right, let's do it. We have my friend Paul from California. I believe I know who this is, but Paul from California. Paul, welcome to the No Stay Project.
Hey, Mark, it's good to talk to you. I've been catching up on the archives on RBN since they've put them back up, so I think I heard Mark before, so... Good on you, mate.
hey, thanks, Paul.
People really don't understand how bad it can get. And, the fact that you can't own guns and you were forced to vote, I mean, wake up, people.
Well, that's how you can force people to vote. You got to take their guns away first.
Yeah. Then you can pretty much force them to do anything you want.
There you go.
Thing about it. But I'm curious, what's your views? What are things like in Italy?
Oh, gosh. Glad you asked that on this segment, Paul. Mark?
Oh, wow. It's a wild place in comparison to Australia. A lot of there are some rules that are made of rubber, and there's other ones like you're in a cage here. When it comes to customs, getting things in and out of the country, it's a nightmare. As for guns, they've got hunting season as you do over there, which we don't have in Australia, and the people with the guns tend to write their own rules, no matter whether they've got a badge or not.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of the way that goes eventually.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to point out that New Zealand does not have compulsory voting laws, and they don't have gun confiscation there.
And they haven't sunk into the ocean yet. What a concept.
There you go.
Well, you keep up the good work, I'm going to have to buy another case of your books there, Mark.
Hey, I'm always glad to send you another case of books, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing a workshop out by you soon, so look for details, and I'll be contacting you about that. But I'm going to be doing a workshop in the Los Angeles, Santa Barbara area. I haven't pinned down an exact location, but check back at adventuresinlegalland.com for details, and I'll get with you about that during the week, Paul.
I'll help you fill the seats.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for call, Paul, and I will contact you off air.
All right.
All right, thanks. We have another call. We'll go to Jay in New Jersey. Jay, welcome to the No Stay Project.
Yeah, I've got a couple down under questions. Is the no hate law in effect in Australia or maybe New Zealand too?
I know what law?
The no hate law, the anti hate law that they're working on here. Thought crime law.
Yeah, I've only just started tuning into what's going on over there with the anti hate laws, and no, I haven't. It hasn't quite got that far yet in Australia, but the terror tactics that they use, like you're driving down the motorways and you've got full size billboards of cops pointing radar guns straight at your face, saying we're going to get you whether you like it or not. It's just a matter of time. It's there's enough of that going on already.
Okay, I had heard that it had passed there, but I really do not know. You don't hear that much from Australia. It seems like a strange country, a very liberal, and then again, it's not.
Well, it's like the United States, I would imagine. You've got people who are tired of being kicked around, and you got the complacent ones who feel that if you say anything about what the government's doing, then you want the terrorists to win. Obviously, my guest, my friend Mark, he wants a terrorist to win.
Not at all.
Of course. But Jay, you said you had another question?
Actually, I guess I can leave it with that. Australia fascinates me. It's always been like a very interesting country. And you very rarely get to hear from anybody down there about, you know, what goes on down there. But I'll leave it at that. Let you guys go.
Well, I appreciate the call, Jay. Please call again and keep listening to the show.
Okay.
Well, Mark,
I
want you to just take a moment, if you could tell us, you know, just get a little more detail since it's a little more current. Talk about the nightmare that you've had as far as the customs there in Italia.
Oh, gee. Well, I sent a couple of packages ahead of myself when I left Australia, and they charged me quite a lot of money to get them back, to get them to myself. A box containing secondhand pairs of shoes. I got hit for about 40 euro just to get that back across. But the patience was worn thin by the time I had $40 worth of essential oil sent over from the States. I got a phone call from the customs, and they said to me, we've got these oils here, and they told me the name. There was only about three of them. And he said to me, well, they're not approved. What are you going to use them for? And I said, well, I'm a massage therapist. I rub oils on people's bodies. And they went, well, that's contact with the substances that come into contact with the human body need to be approved by the state medical board and health board or whatever name he gave me. So as a result, since you're not on our list, you need to pay 100 euros to get the blessing of the state. And on top of that, you pay your customs duties.
Oh my gosh! So how much? I mean, what was the value of the oil?
About $40 American.
$40, and how much did they want you to pay in customs and fees?
Well, let's see. In fees, was going to be about $120 plus plus their duties. Which by the time I'd dealt with them twice already for having stuff sent from Australia, it was apparent to me that they were just making these numbers and rules up. The second package we had sent, they were asking us for copies of identification, passport details, you name it, and that we still had to go and pay them €70 for it.
Wow, you know, it's amazing. What I would have done, I would have asked, well, maybe I would ask them because I'm here in the States and I'm out of range of their guns, but I probably would have, maybe with a little bit of sarcasm, asked them if this board, you know, since they have to approve things to touch the human body, do they approve each and every bullet that the police carry?
That is out of range of their guns.
Yeah, it's out of, you know, okay, call me up, call me a coward, but, you know, that's not something I would generally, you know, I ask that from a distance, of course, but, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, would they even go through the charade of actually testing the oil that you wanted to make sure it was not going to be, or it wasn't, you know, harmful to your customers? Did they actually test it? So what's the point of the money?
So. I think money. That's it. Just money.
There you go.
And when my blood was boiled, and so I got onto their website, I was furious. I wanted to know what was going on with these guys, and the only thing I could discern all written in Italian was they were proudly touting the fact that all the people who hadn't paid their customs fees and dues were their objects that were confiscated were being sold off at auction. So the way I saw these parasites, if you want to call them that, was that they were winning both ways, no matter how you looked at it.
Well, yeah, and they're probably they're auctioning it, and here. They're not even testing these products that could be dangerous to the public, and all they're doing is auctioning off for money. You know, they would never do something like that in the United States. Wait, they do. You've got it's even worse here because even if you just look at the prescription drugs and whatnot, or over-the-counter drugs, what they do, people going and buying them in Canada. But you look at an example of California, Mark. You have a referendum or whatever, where the people overwhelmingly vote in the use of the sale and marijuana for medical use. But the feds still bust these people for violating federal law. It's okay on the state law, but it's not by federal law. And what do you think that they're doing? Now, there's a video that I've seen recently about law enforcement against prohibition. I guess they call it LEAP. And they talk about, and I've spoken about this on the show before, about the corruption. And just like how they're selling your products at an auction, what the police do is when they confiscate drugs, not all of them, but they turn around and sell the same drugs. So they may get, let's say, $250,000 worth of drugs that they could turn around and sell themselves.
And they get the satisfaction of all the money that you've had to pay in fines and legal fees and so on and so forth. And they're doing a great job, more funding, more police.
Well, yeah, you can keep funding more police. But this whole bit about, you know, they were probably, you know, do they say on the website that doing this is to protect the people, the good people of Italy, from your oil?
No. They're a lot more militaristic than that. They've got these these logos, you know, that look like they should be off some sort of army vehicle, and this is the way we do it. End of story.
So they're more honest about it.
Oh yeah.
See, here they go through this charade, of course, that it's for your protection. I mean, you see these commercials for. It's a purely natural product. It's like an herb or, you know, some kind of mixture of juices, whatever. And a good example, which JT, one of the silent sponsors, had sent me, we had spoken about this. I don't know if you heard this part of the show, that the FDA and the USDA were threatening cherry makers, not makers, but people who market and sell cherries, that they could not put scientific data on the package because the FDA had not evaluated it, and that it would be considered a drug, and that that would be a controlled substance, and they couldn't say that eating cherries provides you with antioxidants, which helps a whole bunch of different, you know, health problems, or contributes to greater health and immune system, and they couldn't do that. And here in the United States, they go through this BS charade, this nonsense that it's all for your protection. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Recently here, I don't know if you, what's happened over there, as far as they had a thing called the Codex ruling.
Yes.
That they didn't in Europe, and anything that wasn't anything to do with they separated food from supplements and vitamins and herbs and all those other things that are medicinal or therapeutic use were set aside as being under the domain of doctors. Here, the only practitioners that were that are recognised are acupuncturists, as far as I'm aware. The rest of them, they haven't got any sort of standing whatsoever. Myself, as a remedial massage therapist, I can't say that I fix people's backs or I sort people out. I can't say that. I'm also a nutritionist, but I can't go and say that either, because if I do that, I go and step on the medical toes. So I've got to say that I have a system of relaxation that I help people to relax, and oh my goodness, you suddenly got better. Well, that's just a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of coincidences, I guess, in your business. I mean, they did the ridiculous thing in California back in the 70s to make it illegal to hypnotize somebody without a license. Where you needed a license to induce an altered state in somebody, or to alter somebody's state of consciousness. I don't know if anyone has. I've never done the research. It's hilarious to consider something like that. And it's the same. It's the same craziness than all that you're dealing with, you know. And just for a little bit of civil disobedience, why don't you just say what you do, regardless of on the air now, regardless of what they say, the authorities there say. What do you actually do?
What do I do? I'm a remedial massage therapist, a nutritionist, and a general troublemaker all around.
Okay, but generally, but let's say with the nutrition, what are the things that they say you may not say?
That I may not say, I may not diagnose anybody, I may not say that anyone has got a particular problem with them whatsoever. And from my understanding of that, a medical term such as, say, acne, that's like a copyright of, it's a name they give to a set of circumstances that manifest on the body. And so when a doctor says, hey, there's acne, it becomes their property straight away, their intellectual property. So I can't say I'll go and fix your acne, because the acne is a medical property. It's not mine. It doesn't get too bad until you start using the big C word, the one that they're all raising money for these days.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely ridiculous. But at least they're not pulling any of this nonsense there. That, you know, they're more honest that it's that they're there protecting people. You know,
there's none of that. And even in Australia, they don't make any bones about it. They just say, "Well, this is the way it is. Bad luck."
Oh, they don't even say that in Australia anymore.
No, I don't really find that there's any sort of sense of anything. It's like, this is the way we're going to do it. This is illegal. They had a big scandal not so long ago of one company that was an alternative health provider, and it's all under the banner of, we've got like the TGA, which is a bit like, I think, your FDA that you've got over there. And the TGA will say, this is the way things should be. And they put an upstanding company up on the public spotlight, and summarily executed their character in the media, all because their machinery was out of date. And completely ridiculed the whole system of alternative health practitioners and providing supplements, and so therefore went through everybody and made them re-standardize the whole system.
Aye.
It was for the public health, because, you know, all these scandalous production houses producing dirty substances that can go into your body and affect you. My goodness.
Oh,
the machinery was old.
Oh, like it's terrible. Terrible. Apparently, well, you know, I guess from what you're saying, that those people in Australia have forgotten well, at least the officials, the authorities, they have forgotten Winston Churchill's famous statement about the only mandate of government. You don't need no law, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. You don't need no law. There's one mandate. Government has one mandate, and that is to protect the people. Oh, what bull. What absolute rubbish. Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that I point out all the time in the show, and I usually end the show with something like that, if government was really there to protect you, why would they be constantly threatening, you know, to protect your life, liberty, and property? Why would they be constantly threatening to take it away?
That's beyond us. I wonder to myself if Australia has forgotten that it happened, that it is no longer a penal colony.
Well, I, according to some people I know in New Zealand, it never stopped being a penal colony.
Yeah.
And I guess if you look at things really as they are, and the fact that they're telling you to vote and you're taking guns and they're doing all this, and, you know, just like the United States, it's never stopped. Well, Mark, we'll be back in just a few minutes. My name is Mark Stevens. This is the No Stay Project. Give us a call at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
To the news. I'm your host, Mark Stevens. Austin's adopted son, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Oh, I hate potting that one down. I want to welcome. Well, now you. Thank. Yeah, just you could just keep it under there so I could it'd still be heard. But we're talking to my friend from Australia who's living in Italy now. Mark, welcome back to the No Stay Project.
Thanks, Mark.
Before we run out of time because we're almost at the end again. I told you it goes fast. I want to thank silent sponsors who help support the show, and so we can come on. We have Sagas, who I know you're listening. Appreciate everything you do. JT, enjoy the weekend. I know you've taken off, and Mark, of course, who still owes me some music. I definitely I'm looking forward to that. This Monday, March 26th, 2007, I am going to be on the Bill Maher Show again from 8 a.m. Pacific Time, which 8 a.m. is not too bad. From 8 to 9, we're going to be doing a full hour. And you can get the call-in number. It's on my website. That's on KMED, 1440 a.m. in Medford, Oregon. Actually, and Tom and Mark, check it. It's a clear channel station. The show comes on right before Rush Limbaugh. So amazingly, hopefully there'll be a lot of people listening to, planning to listen to Rush that will also be listening to the show. Maybe they'll hear the truth for the first time in their radio listening life. And let's see. Yes, like I said about Paul, check out AdventuresInLegalLand.com for details about the upcoming workshops. The LA area, we're also going to be setting something up in Minneapolis again. So I'm looking forward to going out to that. Unfortunately, the music's up. Mark, it was great to have you on.
It was great being on.
Do you want to just take a moment and give out your website? You have a website on MySpace?
Yeah, I've got MySpace.com, upline sponsor.
Say that one more time.
MySpace.com/upline sponsor, UPLINE sponsor, yeah, I know. And I get out and I spread the word a bit as well with another one called The End of Money.
Well, excellent. Mark, it's been great having you on. My name is Mark Stevens. This has been the No Stay Project for March 24th, 2007. And like I always say, if government was really there to protect life, liberty, and property, they wouldn't be threatening to take it away in the first place. Until next time.